One moment there. I'm getting a few people into courtrooms. We'll have just a second here. Would you like to reserve any time for rebuttal there?
Yes, sir. 5 minutes?
Yes, ma'am. You may begin when ready.
Good morning. My name is Zenobia Peoples, and I represent Surgery Center of Central Virginia. I'm here requesting the court to reverse the decision of the Virginia Workers' Compensation Commission. Excuse me.
Yes, ma'am. Stop it, time, Mr. Forster.
This case arises out of a 2010 industrial accident sustained while Earl Weimer was employed with McLean Company. Mr. Weimer received medical treatment from Surgery Center of Central Virginia, creating a total bill of $11,070. His employer, through his workers' comp carrier, AIG, only paid a portion of the bill, leaving a balance of $8,725.31. The medical care provider, Surgery Center of Central Virginia, then filed this claim before the commission seeking payment of the unpaid balance of the bill. Following an on-the-record hearing, the commission found that the proper amount had been paid by the defendants, and review was requested by the medical provider, and the full commission affirmed the lower decision. Now, the groundwork for this case states under Section 65.2-605, of the Virginia Workers' Compensation Act, which provides that the employer's liability is limited to payments of those charges that prevail in the same community for similar treatment when that treatment is paid for by the injured person. And this court has held numerous times that the employer's receipt of a medical bill creates a presumption that the charges are both reasonable and fair.
It seems, counsel, that this all comes down to an interpretation of contract. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I would agree with that, sir.
And it also seems that the case law that's out there would suggest that a contractual resolution of this case would dictate a finding from a claim company. Why would you disagree with that?
Well, I believe that the facts don't support that. The commission, I believe that the commission misstated and misconstrued the facts.
Okay, and which particular facts would you say have been misconstrued?
Okay, well, if you look at section, the commission relied on provision 10 of the 2004 amendment to section 10 of the 2010 amendment to the 2004 agreement between Surgery Center and Aetna. Are you with me?
Yes,
everybody's
ma'am.
With me. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so section 10, quoting from that amendment, the commission relied on it and stated, if any terms of this amendment conflict with the terms of the agreement, the terms of the amendment shall prevail. However, the reliance on that section is misplaced because it ignored the full language of the provision, which, if you read it in its totality, provides a clear intent and meaning of the provision. Provision 10 actually states in full, the terms, it's three sentences, the terms capitalized but not defined in the amendment shall have the meanings ascribed to them in the agreement. All other terms of the agreement not amended herein remain in full force and effect. If any terms of this amendment conflict with the terms of the agreement, the terms of the amendment shall prevail.
A lot of lawyers involved in writing that.
Yes, sir. Right. So Surgery Center is suggesting that the commission mistakenly used the word term and misapplied it. The amendment did not I'm back to the amendment did not amend the notice provision. I haven't even gotten to that. But if you pick out, what the commission did was pick out one sentence in provision 10. If any term of the amendment conflicts with the terms of the agreement, the terms of the amendment shall prevail. The commission found that the notice requirement was abolished by the amendment. However, the first sentence of provision 10 provides that terms capitalized but not defined in the amendment shall have the meanings ascribed to them in the 2004 agreement. The second sentence of Provision 10 provides that all other terms of the agreement not amended herein remain in full force and effect. The third and final sentence of the provision states that if any terms of this amendment conflict with the terms of the agreement, the terms of the amendment shall prevail. It's clear that the intent of this section is to address the possibility of conflict in terminology used by the two documents.
So wasn't there a determination that the notice provision from the original agreement did not apply to the amendment? Wasn't that the determination?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
That the notice provision from the original agreement did not apply to the amendment.
That's what the commission held, but the amendment was silent with regard to notice at all.
Let me ask you this. There's no question that First Health was in this AWCA network prior to 2010, right?
Yes, sir.
And the whole point of the 2010 amendment is to include Surgery Center in the AWCA network, right?
Yes.
So basically what you're saying is, in addition, for every entity that was a member of this AWCA network, there should have been a separate notice provided that these folks are in this AWCA network.
That's exactly what Section 2.5 of the 2004 contract requires. Specifically, it states that the company may sell, lease, transfer, or otherwise convey to payers other than plan sponsors which do not compete with the company's products the services and compensation schedule under terms and conditions which will be communicated to facility in each such case. That didn't happen here.
The whole point of 2010 is to add this network. So why isn't Surgery Center, if it wants to do this, on notice to figure out who's in this network as opposed to this formalistic, you got to have an extra layer of notice. I mean, they're negotiating this complicated contract to sweep in this entire network. So why does the Surgery Center have to go out and figure out who's in this network, and do we want to be saddled with all these folks?
Well, for one thing, the Aetna is constantly shopping out Surgery Center's contract to insurance companies all over the country all the time. So it's unreasonable to expect that if a patient walks into Surgery Center's office today that they're going to know that a workers' comp patient, that the company that they represent may or may not have shopped out, may or may not be covered by a company that Aetna has shopped its contract out to. It's unreasonable to expect that
Surgery Center, not the patient.
I'm sorry?
We're talking about Surgery Center, not what they're willing to accept in satisfaction of their services, not the patient.
Well, it's unreasonable to expect the Surgery Center would have the burden to do that every time a patient walks into his office.
Okay, and so maybe post-2010, when possibly every time a new member joins this AWCA network, then they would have to be notified. But as of 2010, it seems to me an extra unreasonable burden or unforeseen burden to say, well, in addition to the fact that you're agreeing to be part of this network, we have to tell you everybody who's in this network.
But that's what the 2004 language in the original contract requires. Mm-hmm. It does require that Aetna advise Surgery Center in every single case and give Surgery Center 30 days to say we decline to participate and let this entity have access to our contract.
If we were to decide that the notice provision from the original agreement did not apply to the amendment and defer to the commission's determination on that issue, would that be fatal to your case?
Yes, sir, it would.
Okay.
Yes, sir, it would. I think it's really important that the import of the commission's finding that the notice provision no longer applied and was abolished once the 2010 amendment was entered is really important here. The commission misapplied the word term. That one sentence, the second sentence in Provision 10, if I were to substitute the word word W-O-R-D for every word term in provision 10, the true meaning of provision 10 would be clear, would have been clear to the commission, because the commission picked this one word and attempted to give it a different meaning. Here they substituted the word, if I substitute the word for word, word, W-O-R-D for T-E-R-M, it would clear up the confusion. So provision 10, if I were to make the substitution, would say the words capitalized but not defined in the amendment shall have the meanings ascribed to them in the agreement. All of the words of the agreement not amended herein remain in full force and effect.
Which party drafted the agreement, if you know, counsel?
Not the medical provider. Aetna drafted the agreement, and in fact, the defendants acknowledged that in oral argument before the commission that they had no evidence to contradict that the medical provider had not drafted this document, and that's an important fact because elementary contract interpretation.
Most closely construed against draftsman.
Yes, sir. Rules require that these ambiguities should be construed against the drafter.
You're into your rebuttal time. You can keep going, but okay. I'm just letting you know.
Okay, thank you. I'll go a few more minutes.
Yes, sir.
Okay. The commission found that the medical provider had been paid in full and in accordance with the terms of the 2001 amendment, but the commission also justified its decision based upon what it called the provider's ability to acquire notice of First Health's access to the 2004 contract. The commission found that if the provider had questions as to participating in qualified payers and that information was readily accessible by going to the Internet or calling some network hotline 800 number. However, Surgery Center did not have notice, and the original agreement, nor the amendment, said, look, Surgery Center, go to the Internet and find out if your contract has been shopped out and given to someone else. The notice requirements in the contract, in the agreement, specifically require both parties to direct any notice in writing to the other party using certified mail to the other party, and in this case, that was not done. Additionally, Surgery Center was not given the 30 days to advise Aetna that it did not want to participate. And I think I will rest and reserve my rebuttal. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon, and may it please the court. I'm Emily Kirkpatrick, and I represent McLean Company and New Hampshire Insurance Company, the employer and insurance carrier in this matter.
What do you believe to be the standard of review in this case? Typically, when we're talking about workers' comp cases or the like, we take the position that we defer to the determinations of the commission because they are in a position well-suited to interpret its own rules, et cetera. But it seems to me that this case is more like a contract interpretation case as opposed to a traditional deferral to the agency case. What would you suggest as a standard?
Well, the medical provider and the employer in this matter both offered that the standard of review would be credible evidence because there are contractual interpretation issues, which would be a de novo review, but there are also fact findings by the commission that sort of underpin all of this.
If we were to go back, and Ms. Peoples made a very good point, if we were to look at this in traditional contract interpretation rules, and I'll preface this by saying I wasn't the biggest fan of contracts when I was in law school, so I stayed away from it, and I try to stay away from them now. But if we go back to general principles about contracts, it's always most closely construed against its draftsman, and there's been a representation that, at least for purposes of this, your side would be considered to be the draftsman. And if there's ambiguity, reasonable ambiguity, why shouldn't we interpret this contract consistent with what Ms. People suggests as opposed to what your opponent suggests?
Well, I think that it's fair to construe it in the light most favorable to the non-drafter, but I don't believe that there actually is ambiguity in this matter. So I think it's okay to view it like that and still agree with the commission. The provision at issue in that 2004 commercial agreement between Aetna and the medical provider doesn't apply for a number of reasons. Those sort of focused on by the commission, meaning the conflicting terms issue. And also, even if the commission had determined that this provision survived and were going to be tried to apply to the terms of the amendment, when you read the provision 2.5, it just simply can't be applied. For example, there's this issue of the 30-day opportunity to opt out. That applies to new products and programs. In this case, the new product is the AWCA Workers' Comp Network. That was something that the medical provider elected to formally join through an amendment. This notice provision...
And there was no... I mean, you joined the entire network. I mean, the contract didn't contemplate that you would pick and choose who in this network you would get to do business with. You just accepted all of it or none of it, right?
That's correct. And the notice provision for the commercial, and on brief we referred to it as the commercial agreement simply to sort of draw a line, because that agreement, the 2004 agreement, has been undisputed and found by the commission that it doesn't apply at all to workers' comp. So that is sort of separate and apart. And Aetna and AWCA, just for a matter of clarity, are affiliates. So AWCA is an affiliate of Aetna Health. It's also the name of the PPO network that is administered by AWCA. So it's a network and an affiliate. So lots of fun there. But the provision that the medical provider is focusing on, it does require that if Aetna were going to informally enroll the medical provider in a new product or program, that they would get notice and then they would have an opportunity to opt out. It simply doesn't apply here because the network is the product, and the medical provider formally joined it. There's a termination provision in the amendment. So at that point, once you've entered the new network with this amendment, your options are then to either participate in the network or terminate. And the medical provider didn't terminate. So the idea of this opt-out provision for the network simply doesn't apply here. There is no opt-out provision, even in the 2004 agreement, for the conveyance to a new, as they called it here, payers, with a P-A-Y-E-R, and in the amendment it's P-A-Y-O-R. But if you're going to convey it to a new payer, you need to convey communicate the terms and conditions to the medical provider. First of all, the plain language...
Pursuant to the amendment,
sure.
Were there any new obligations imposed upon Surgery Center?
No, just simply the participation in the network.
Okay, so there wasn't any... unrealistic expectations that they would be providing services that were not thought of at the original execution of the first contract?
Yes. So, well, just in that this is now going to apply to payers and also patients who are seeking treatment and that treatment is being paid for under a workers' compensation insurance umbrella as opposed to a regular commercial health insurance agreement. I'm not sure if that answers that question.
I think I thought
it. Okay. But the second part of the 2004 agreement provision, which again the commission found doesn't apply, if we were going to try to apply it to the amendment, we just can't. It specifically says that if you're going to convey the benefits of this agreement, again, this agreement is the commercial agreement. None of the benefits of that agreement are addressed, conveyed, or affected by the 2010 amendment. So that's not the case. Additionally, the terms of condition and conditions of conveyance to payers is outlined in the amendment. So even if that were required, it's happened. But this is very specific notice requirements for circumstances that aren't at play here and for benefits that aren't at issue. So not only is it in conflict necessarily with the language of the AWCA agreement, because the purpose of that agreement is for AWCA to convey the benefits of that agreement to payers. There's no limitation on the method in which that's going to be done, and there's no requirement for notice. But also, even if it were to survive, it just simply doesn't work, doesn't apply. Any further questions? Well, for those reasons, we would ask that the court affirm the commission's decision.
So you got to make sure you say what you want, right? You want to win, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ms. these peoples. Let me ask you this, ma'am. Pursuant to the amendment, were there any additional obligations, in your view, imposed on Sergi Center?
Absolutely. With regard to the amendment, the only thing the amendment did was to bring in plan sponsors and make them payers because they were not under the original contract. So under the original contract, only payers had access to Sergi Center's contract. And then under the amendment, payers and plan sponsors became one and the same. Section 2.5 of the original agreement does require that Aetna advise Sergi Center in every situation that it is conveying the contract to a payer.
Do you take issue with the fact that your client was on actual notice of the obligation?
No, my client was not under actual notice of it. My client had no way of knowing.
Okay.
It had no way of knowing. It was not advised, and in fact the defendants agree. They never notified. I mean, the defendants didn't write this contract. Aetna did, but they are relying on this contract. And Aetna did not notify my clients, and nor did the defendants notify my clients. So the bottom line is, the defendants argue that this doesn't apply, but Section 2.5 didn't just go out the window when the agreement was amended in 2010. It didn't just go out the window. It's still there. The notice requirement is still there. The 2010 amendment was silent with regard to notice. So just because it was silent doesn't mean it magically is not relevant anymore.
Why wouldn't the amendment itself provide some level of notice to you or to your client?
Well, the amendment, the language in the amendment does not state who the payers are. It only provides a compensation schedule. It doesn't say how many payers there are, if there are 20 payers, if there are 420 payers.
So your complaint, not your complaint, but your client's complaint,
yes,
is with particularity or specificity as to what this amendment actually means.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the application and the commission's reliance on the suggestion that by the parties executing the amendment, the notice provision went out the window. It didn't go out the window. It was silent with regard to notice.
All right, your time's expired. We'll come back.
Oh, it is?
Agreed, counsel. I think that's the up. Yeah, when the start's going up, that means that you're over. No, you're
Thank
fine.
You.
You're